Dr. Patricia Knoll is a counselor who's been working with people for decades. She's also a drug addiction specialist, and she's an acupuncturist. In addition, she's an author of the book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. If you listen to this each week and you buy her book, you too can proudly be good with me. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's the 5 o'clock hour. You're in the car now. You're heading home. You got through another work day. You're heading home to the family. Hey, isn't that exciting? It's cool. You're in the car now, hanging out with us on the Pete O'Shea Show on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. I'm Pete. I got Kathy on the board right now, and you heard that sounder. It means it's time for our regular visit with Dr. Patricia Knoll. We're going through her book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. And it really is a phenomenal book. It has helped Kathy and I so much, and we have been able to really gain so much. There's been so many aha moments that we got from the book, Dr. Knoll. Just so many. Just where it really stands out to you and go, oh, wow, okay, yeah, I get it now. Because you put it in such a simple approach, in such a simple way, it's really able to do that for people. And it really is a phenomenal book. And thank you again for writing it.
It's a privilege. Thank you for reading it.
Oh, it's just, I love it. Okay, so now, the four attachments. Let's just go over, just give them a quick overview for a second. The four attachments, there are four that we have, right?
There are four. When we don't feel good about ourselves, these are the four things that are running our lives.
Right.
And we don't even know it because we're worried about what people are thinking about us. And because of that, we need approval from others.
Right.
We need to look good to others so that we get the approval.
That's two.
Number three, we need to be right.
Right.
So we look good, so we get approval. And number four, we need to control outcomes.
Right. Okay, so we become a control freak. Okay.
That's right.
All right. Now, when we took off last week, we finished at, we were in the middle of chapter attachment number two, the need to look good. That's where we left off. So let's continue right there. We got to the point where we were talking about comparing ourselves to other people is a no-win situation. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. It's a no-win situation. In fact, we become a slave to our comparing ourselves to others because, you know, there was a time, you know, let me back up. It's totally natural to compare ourselves.
Of course.
Okay? We're all doing it. However, we live in a time now where it's become almost unnatural because it isn't anymore that we're just we look at one another and we kind of compare, oh, they've got a better shape or they've got a better job or whatever it is. But now we're comparing ourselves to everyone on the World Wide Web.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not just in our focus group or in front of us. Now it's over the whole world.
Right. And it isn't just, let's say, a beautiful celebrity or an athlete or someone like that that's in the public eye. It's everyone who posts on Facebook, who does something on the internet.
Has their own YouTube channel, has a blog, has a this. Because now there's just so many different directions that it goes in now.
Absolutely. That we didn't have before.
Exactly. And now, do we wind up as other dependent people, which is what most of us are, and that's the key to all of what you talk about. Do we wind up comparing ourselves to someone more than us or less than us?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than us. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the keys to it. We don't go looking around at the people who we think have less than us and compare ourselves. No. We have to go shoot to this high level up there and then just like totally destroy ourselves comparing ourselves to those people.
That's right.
Wow. Okay. And that sadly, then they find themselves lacking, but they're not really lacking. That's the key to this, Doc. You think you're lacking because you're doing that comparison, but you're not.
That's right. You're just different.
See?
And different isn't lacking.
No. Different isn't lacking. Everybody brings something to the table. And again, just because theirs is a little more flashy or theirs is a little more, you know, financially solvent, that doesn't mean yours is any less important.
And what's flashy for one person might not be flashy for another person, right?
Exactly.
Because we don't see it all.
It's all in the eye of the beholder. Exactly
right.
Okay. And so from an early age, we're taught to look as only as good as our quote unquote stuff.
You got it.
Yeah.
We are a nation of stuff.
Stuff.
Have you ever noticed that people come here from other nations to learn how to have
more
stuff?
To get stuff. Yes. To get stuff.
Exactly.
Yes.
So we've become as good as our stuff, and we compare our stuff to other people's stuff.
It's a broad range, though, of stuff. We're not just talking about, okay, I own this car and I own this watch. Stuff is a broader range than that. Give me the whole range of what you mean by stuff.
Stuff is just our success or what we do or who we know or what we think someone else has that we don't have.
Our physical appearance, how much money's in the bank.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. That's all part of our stuff.
All of it.
And we're constantly, like, you know, inventorying our stuff. And we're constantly comparing our stuff to other people's. And we're constantly, you know, yearning for more stuff. Isn't it? You never have enough stuff.
Yeah. It's even, what kind of food do you eat? We compare...
Right.
That to what someone else is eating. Oh, you aren't eating healthy enough, or I'm not eating healthy enough. I need to eat like they are, or I need to eat at a finer restaurant.
Well, they're eating filet mignon, right?
Exactly.
And they're having filet mignon and lobster. For me, surf and turf is tuna fish with beef gravy.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, right?
Okay. And a little hamburger, maybe.
There you
right?
go. Yeah, exactly. But again, we're always constantly comparing that.
That's right.
All right. You talk about here in the book, there was an interesting thing CNN came out with in June of 2011. They said that, to tell them what they said. Tell them what CNN said.
Cited that the more young girls watch TV and celebrities on TV, the more they hate their own bodies.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, and again, those celebrities that they're quote-unquote looking up to and aspiring to be like as far as their bodies, it's manufactured. It's not even real.
That's right. It's photoshopped and painted and made up. So have you ever looked at the pictures that are around of these same celebrities without their makeup and without the photoshopping?
Yeah, it's okay. It's
they don't look any different than anyone else.
That's nothing
they?
To be aspiring to.
That's right.
Exactly right.
That's right.
But again, because all that glitz and glamour, and they put on tons and tons of makeup, right. and they have a personal trainer, and they get the surgeries for everything. Anytime they don't go work out, they go get another surgery to get it done, a quick fix. And
sometimes.
Again, and the girls, then guys too, the boys, young boys too, mm-hmm. look up to that, and again, they make them feel horrible about themselves.
That's
but again,
right.
it's all plastic. It's not real.
Right. And that's what that comparing does. So if we can learn to not compare ourselves so much to others and begin to appreciate who we are, and that's the good with me.
Right.
Concept,
that's exactly
right?
to what we're talking about. Comparing yourselves to others is an absolute no-win situation. It just is no chance you can win.
That's
now,
right.
again, in the next exploration and discovery that you have in the book, on page 43 here, we're talking about the need to look good. You ask the question, what about yourself do you compare to others? There's always a linchpin thing, right? Everybody has one. Well, their teeth or their hair or their body or their whatever. Everybody's got one that's their sore spot, right?
Or their education.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you compare education. Oh, he went to that school and I went to this school. It just, even like they compare whose family is more dysfunctional, right?
Exactly. Oh, I wouldn't want to be in that family. Oh, but this family, look at what they've got it all going on. That's the family I want.
In the quote-unquote beautiful people, or the important people that are on the covers of these magazines, again, the reality of their life is so far different from one moment captured on film.
That's right.
But we spy into this. We're sold this bill of goods, right? And these magazines that come out, these reality TV shows, everything Madison Avenue does in every commercial, they make that appear like it's real.
Yes, and why do we buy into it? There's the real question. We buy into it because we aren't okay with who we are. We don't like who we are. And once we learn to be good with ourselves, to like who we are, we're not fazed by that. Is it beautiful? Yes, it's beautiful. However, I'm good with me.
There is beauty inherent in every single person.
Yes, absolutely.
And you can always find something beautiful about their eyes or their this or their that. And okay, and just because you may have gotten a little gained weight or you've gotten older or whatever, there's still so much beauty in each person.
That's right.
Again, we categorize beauty so wrong in this world. And we are all so hard on ourselves that we lose track of the beauty that's in each and every one of us.
That's right.
And that's really sad, you know. And what it does is we wind up associating ourselves with people we don't even want to be around just because we think that makes us look better, right?
That's right. Because looking good can be having the right girlfriend, the right boyfriend, the right parents, the right children.
The right crew to hang out with. You know,
right.
I hang out with the cool people and I go down to the Blue Martini and we hang out. We have all this. Okay, but you don't belong there. That's not your thing. It's not who. You're not even having fun when you're there.
But you do it to look good.
So you look good. And that's
right.
just crazy, okay? The pinnacle of success in this society, in our society right now, is looking good.
Yes.
And that's this attachment. That's the key to understanding this attachment. This is a global pandemic, basically.
It is.
Into the notion of we have to look good. Okay? It's crazy. It's not real. It's not who we're supposed to be. Everybody looks good. There's good in each and every one of us. Doc, that's the key you try to keep making to people.
Right.
There
that's
is
right.
good in you. You are good. You don't have to look or sound or be or have a certain thing. You are good just because God don't make junk.
That's right. So I'm going to invite everyone to just entertain the idea of, let's spend some time looking for what's good in us.
Yeah, let's identify the really good things, man. Instead of looking at, I got the thing, and I got the, and my nose, and my, no, but you have a beautiful smile, and you have great eyes, and you have this, and you have that. Let's accentuate the positives about each of us, all right, about everybody's look. I want you all to do that. That's your homework this week. I want you to write down a list of things that accentuates the positives of how you look, okay? All right,
good.
Can you all do that? Let's do that, all right? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll continue again. Again, I want you to go with goodwithme.com, and I want you to get a copy of this book, okay? It's a simple approach to real happiness from the inside out. It's such a helpful book. If you understand these concepts that we're talking about right here, again, that comparing yourself to others is an absolute no-win scenario. If you understand that, boy, things start getting better, and you can, in fact, be good with me. We'll be right back. I love you, and I love Jesus.
How are your carpets, rugs, hardwood floors, tile, grout, and upholstery at home and work looking these days? Heaven's Best Carpet Cleaning has been doing quality work at affordable prices since 1983. If you've tried the rest, now try the best. Heaven's Best. Our unique dry in an hour process means your carpet won't take hours or even days to dry. It'll be dry in just an hour. We service both residential and commercial properties. Why choose Heaven's Best? Our experts can tackle the toughest stains and dirt, leaving your carpets clean and renewed. When you choose Heaven's Best, we'll leave your floors and furniture looking, feeling, and even smelling great. If you live or work in Polk County, call Heaven's Best now at 863-934-8404. That's 863-934-8404. Or visit our website at lakelandfl.heavensbest.com. Get your free estimate today. If you can walk on it or sit on it, we clean it. Heaven's Best, carpet cleaning experts you can trust.
Patricia Knoll, you're on a mission to help everybody be good with me. What does that mean?
That means I'm redefining self-esteem so everyone can feel good about who they are.
And how do you do that?
I do that with individual and group counseling, with a webinar, with online courses, and also with the book, Good With Me.
We got to get people to understand, to actually pay attention to the fact that they're actually thinking bad thoughts, right?
That's right. Most people are thinking negatively about themselves and they don't even know it. So it's just running their lives.
So once you get them to notice that in counseling, then you can get them to learn how to
see what they're thinking and then change it.
And learn how to have fun doing it, right?
Absolutely. It's all about the fun.
You can practice being good with me. And if you want to be good with me, then I want you to call Patricia Knoll at 727-424-1270. Again, that's 727-424-1270 or
go to goodwithme.com.
Get ready, Tampa Bay, as One Jam Nation helps celebrate Bridging Freedom's mission and WTIS's 40th anniversary. Saturday, January 16th, Bridging Freedom will bring together some of the best local talent downtown to Okeechobee Park on Old Water Street behind the Emily Arena. You'll be able to see Seventh Surrender.
So he's calling out to you, we adore him.
Roy Tosh.
I've been no one can take me out this zone. I had a dream that came out. Can you know we all belong? Dream on, dream on, dream on.
Love, Collide, and more. Bridging Freedom's mission is to increase awareness and prevent human trafficking. January 16th also marks the 40th anniversary of AM 1110 being on the air in Tampa Bay. Don't miss this amazing show, January 16th, from noon till 6 at the Okeechobee Park on the Riverwalk next to the Tampa Bay History Center.
Hey, what part of the journey are you on right now? Where are you? Seriously, in life, where are you right now? You up, you down, you flush, scared? Where? Midlife crisis? Quarter life crisis? Where are you at? Up, down, solid, straight, what? What's going on? I'm serious. I'm asking you because I care. So I want to know because you're listening to the Pete O'Shea Show right here on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. We're spending our time right now that we do every Wednesday with Dr. Patricia Knoll. Her book is called Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. You can get a copy of it by going to goodwithme.com. I suggest you get copies for everybody. Get like for everybody. Okay, get the whole family a copy. Seriously, in the next family reunion, just pass them out and everybody can just sit there. And instead of like, you know, fighting and arguing and everything, just read the book together. See, it'll be fun. All right, here we go. We're going to now start chapter 8, which goes into attachment 3. We just told you there are four basic attachments to all of us who have what we call other dependent esteem, where our self-esteem does not come from ourselves, but from others. And because of that, we have these four attachments. And we just talked about the first two. Okay, the second one we just finished was the need to look good. Now, another part of needing to look good is the need to what, Doc?
To be right.
Yeah, how many people do we know of those slider folks that like argue everything to the like to the nth degree, right?
Right. Alienate friends just yeah. to be right.
Just to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to go look everything up and rub it right in your face, you know.
Right.
Oh, it drives you crazy.
Gotta
when it happens.
Prove your point.
I had somebody a couple weeks ago that was a waitress who did that to me, and she really came back and rubbed it in my face that I was wrong. And I'm like, really? Really? And I still tipped her afterwards anyways. I want everybody to know that. But I was like, really? Is you serving me? You doing that?
Good for you. You let her be right.
Yeah, I said, okay, yeah. You got it.
Because
okay.
That's what we do when we're good with me people. We just let others
okay.
be right.
I said, you got it.
So what?
You got me. You know? Okay. But describe the whole idea of this part of the this attachment number 3.
Well, as you said, it's another part of other dependent esteem. And just like looking good, it's grounded in negative thoughts about ourselves. So again, we just don't like ourselves, and this is one of the ways that we think if we know everything about everything, people will be impressed.
Yeah.
And then we get to look good and get that approval that we're looking for.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. an unattainable task that you've given yep. yourself. There's no way you can be right. Nobody is right all the time. It can't be. There was one perfect person, Jesus Christ. That's all we've ever had on this planet.
And no one else can know everything about everything.
No, you can't
right?
possibly.
That's
but
right.
there's the people you talk to. In any topic you bring up, any subject you discuss, they know everything about it. You can't get anything past
that's
them.
Right. That's
okay?
right. Okay.
Here's the crazy part about that. In the next exploration discovery, you ask the question, are you a know-it-all? Am I right about this? Most people that are know-it-alls don't even know that they act like a know-it-all.
That's right. That's right. They're totally oblivious to it.
Yeah.
They have no idea. Because that's their normal modus operandi. That's what they do all the time.
So the key to this you're saying is that it's so important for them to be right because they have such low self-esteem about who they are that then they can stand there and say, look, I was right about that, you know, and you were wrong and I was right. And that gives them that really momentary, but certainly fleeting, bit of self or other dependent esteem.
That's right. That's right. Because people can see them as someone who knows it all.
But in the process, what they wind up doing is disrespecting other people, squashing other people's dreams, stuff like that.
And they disrespect themselves without knowing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And then you wonder why you don't get invited to the party anymore, or why nobody wants to take your phone call anymore.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, he's going to this person's such a know-it-all. They're going to tell me everything. They know everything. You can't tell that person anything. I know people, you say, I can't tell that guy. I can't tell him nothing. There's nothing I can ever tell him that he don't already know.
And how good does the person look if we're watching, let's say, a television show, and all they're doing is yelling and over the top of one another to get to be right and to make their point so that they can be right over what the other person's point is. And how silly does that look, really?
Exactly. If you look at it in its most silliest term, and the most exaggerated version of that is the Costanzas, the parents on Seinfeld, okay?
Okay.
And you know that
show. I'll take your word for
that. Right? Am I right, Kathy? I mean, you laugh at it because it's so ridiculous how they fight, how they do exactly
right.
what you just described,
right.
that you have
yeah.
to laugh at it. But yet it still doesn't reach us to the point of getting it. Wait a minute. You know, and you make a great point here in the book. You say, why isn't it just okay to just simply disagree about something?
Exactly. Exactly.
What makes it so that we have to be... Why is it so important that we got to be right?
Look good.
Just so you can look good again. Get that approval. Get that other dependent esteem going. And again, we actually wind up looking bad. We think we're looking
right.
good. But in the actuality of it, we wind up looking really, really bad.
Right. And we're the last one to know.
We're always the last one
right.
to know about that. But in a sense, we've all done that a little bit. Some people do it more than others, but we all do it, don't we?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some to great extremes, as we were talking about, and all in between. But, you know, when you don't feel good about yourself and you need to look good, and part of, and being right is part of that need to look good, then oftentimes we just won't admit we're wrong, even when we know we're wrong.
Well, that's a key too. So right? One part of it is being a know-it-all. I know this. But another part is when somebody's actually proven you wrong, mm-hmm. and you don't want to admit that you're wrong.
You won't own it.
No, you won't own it. No way. Okay? And then you even once you know you're wrong, once you realize it, you keep arguing the point anyhow because you just can't give in.
Yeah, how dare you say I'm wrong?
That's just crazy.
Right?
And we're all a little bit guilty of that, more some more than others. But all of us in our lifetime have done that, you know?
Right. And there's another side of this, too. Some people, if they're found wrong, they would rather do anything. They would rather disappear or hide under the carpet. Just don't see me. I'm invisible. If I'm really wrong, that's how severe that can be for some people.
It really can be. And they get really angry. Mm-hmm. They get like abusive verbally to people, you know, just because they were, you know, and maybe innocuous at the moment. No, that's not the right answer. What it really meant was that. And they just fly off the handle at that person.
And how much domestic violence occurs because of that. Don't you tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get you for it.
That's a deep-seated situation going on there.
And, Pete, have you noticed, globally, nations go to war to be right.
Over simple little disagreements like that.
That's
we had
right.
World War One over a simple guy, because the one guy got shot. We had World War One.
There you go.
Okay.
Or your government isn't the same as mine. You're wrong.
The Koreans still can't get along. We got to put a DMZ between the two of them, and they'd still be at it now. The war never really ended.
Right. And what is it all about? Who gets to be right?
Who gets to be right? You know, and that's just so silly. So again, when we're doing it globally, when we're doing it as countries,
yes.
Now you can't understand why, as individuals and as families, and like you said, you know, domestic violence situations, why it's so prevalent. When on a worldwide stage, the whole world sees it.
That's right.
It becomes the norm. It becomes who we are again, doesn't it?
It is the norm.
And it's just we overreact, you know, and we want to crawl under the rug and disappear. It's okay to say you're wrong. It's okay. I'm learning that. I didn't always.
Right.
I'll admit I was one of those guys for a long time. No, I'm not wrong. But I finally am. I can say, no, you know what? I was wrong. And when I'm wrong, I know I'm usually really wrong. I'm not just a little bit wrong, you know. But you can finally say it, you know. But that need to be right is a very, this is one of the more serious attachments we're talking about.
It is
about.
A big one. It is a big one. I would be humiliated if somebody thought I was wrong. That's how awful that was.
Like you said, the extreme example of it is nations go to war just over that same problems, mm-hmm. or cultures annihilate themselves over this idea. This is that's an extreme version of it. But if you took it at the context of our own lives, it can be helpful to help us stop doing that.
That's right.
To have that conscious awareness and cut it out.
How many people do we have in powerful places who don't feel good about themselves? They're no different. And yet we expect them to be different.
Right. And the bottom line is this, guys. The fact is that nobody knows everything. Okay, not one of us knows everything.
Right.
And we don't have to feel like, you know, we're a know-it-all. Everyone else surely does know everything else about it. That's what we think. Everybody else knows everything, right?
Right.
At the very least, other people know a lot more than I know, and others don't know much of anything at all. Those are the ways we think. Those are the three things we think.
Right.
And it gets us in so much trouble, you know?
It does.
So all you have to do is simply just say to yourself, okay, you know, I'm just going to be straight with myself. I'm going to be honest with myself about my own right and wrong. And I'm not going to be a know-it-all. You don't have to do that to people.
Right. And how many of us expect other people to expect us to know it all?
Wow. Okay, because
right.
again, you want to look good,
right.
and everybody knows you for the know-it-all, so we go to him for everything, okay? But again, it just becomes so much pressure. It's just too much pressure right. to stress to put on yourselves.
Exactly.
Which is going to bring us up to attachment four, which is what we're going to need to do next week, the need to control the outcome. And we're going to explore the implications of that in the next time. But again, I want you to do your homework. I want you to find the things about your own personal appearance that you actually like, and I want you to write those down, okay? And we'll talk about it next week on the show. And again, go to goodwithme.com and get this book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out by Dr. Patricia Noel. It is changing my life, and I'm so proud of you for this. You've made this a movement. This is your life. This is your mission. And because there are a lot of people getting a lot of help. So thank you for that, and thanks for helping me, Doc. I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll take our break. We'll come back. A house call from Dr. Tracy Lennard here on the Pete O'Shea Show right after this. Don't go anywhere. I love you, and I love Jesus. Mm-hmm.